This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. The nation's capital is becoming a showcase for an artist who works with whatever nature gives him. Andy Goldsworthy has made temporary sculptures out of leaves, rocks, or even ice. He makes them outdoors, and then after the sculptures are gone, admiring curators often display their photographs in galleries and museums around the world. His work was even the subject of a documentary, and now Goldsworthy is installing a permanent work here in Washington, D.C. It's the first new work commissioned by the National Gallery of Art in 26 years. NPR's Susan Stone spoke to the artist for our latest report in our series on the links between art and science.
Andy Goldsworthy knows nature, but for 9 weeks he gave up the meadow for the mall, the National Mall, to create his latest sculpture. It's called Roof.
This work will be taking a form that is so prominent in Washington, the dome, taking it off the roof, placing it on the ground, and putting it in a way back to its origin.
In much of his work, Goldsworthy uses natural materials he gathers at the site. This time, he's bringing in slate from a local quarry. It has provided materials for some of the historic buildings that now surround him. And he's working with a team of stonemasons. Goldsworthy's design calls for 9 domes to rise from an area outside the gallery's east building. Each dome measures 6 feet high and 28 feet across. The gallery's sharp vertical lines and light marble contrast with the rounded forms of rough-hewn stacked slate.
The process of making, for me, is very close to the process of growth. This sculpture is made layer by layer. You know, a tree grows layer by layer, a plant grows layer by layer. And gradually the form develops through this layering process, as it does in nature too.
But in winter, when sensible plants and animals hibernate and regenerate, Goldsworthy and his team had no time for rest.
I'd say we've only gone through about 4 tons. We have to get through 450 tons before we're finished. So it's been a slow day.
As tons of slate pile up, the vacant area is transformed. A landscape of mountains grows in a space that was originally home to a reflecting pool. For Goldsworthy, a permanent work of this magnitude requires a command of structural engineering. The domes have no cement binding them, but can hold a man's weight. And the project demands an understanding of optics.
This sculpture was first and foremost a response to the light that falls on this site. Slate is a very reflective material. This was once a reflective pool, and by putting slate in here, it reflects light into the museum. It also has a fabulous sense of movement and fluidity about it, because it comes in these thin layers that are put one after another. And this cleaving of it to get the thin layers, it's like opening the stone like a book and reading it.
Goldsworthy's sculpture also works on another level. It embraces the absence of light. From the gallery's mezzanine, which overhangs the work, you can see perfectly round black holes, 2 feet in diameter, on the top of each hollow dome. National Gallery curator Molly Donovan says Goldsworthy chose this location carefully and made precise calculations to get this visual effect.
He spent literally the equivalent of days in front of the site studying the effects of the light and the northern exposure of the site, and he knew from all the work he's made before involving holes that a hole would be the best device to play to this effect of light, that he could create pitch black, velvety holes. The dome developed in his work from a desire to raise the hole off the ground and give it some depth. So first came the hole, then the dome.
Domes and black holes are themes Goldsworthy has repeated in his work for decades, whether executing them in leaves, sticks, or stacked slate. They are forms that echo throughout the natural world, from the largest galaxies to the smallest cells.
The underlying intention of a lot of my art is to try and look through the surface appearance of things, and inevitably one way of getting into beneath the surface into it is to introduce a hole, a window into what lies below.
Visitors to the National Gallery see most of Goldsworthy's roof from inside, through a wall of glass. It cannot really be seen from the street. The space it's in is mostly enclosed by an existing marble wall. The work lies inside and outside at the same time. This mass of connecting mounds resembles a heavy, slumbering animal, not to be disturbed from its hibernation.
I also wanted it to have a real sense of regeneration and growth. and this feeling of one dome coming apart from another or joining another does have a quality of cell division that I like.
The outer edge of one of the domes pushes through the window into the museum.
There is a danger of when I work only on the other side that it is a little bit like an aquarium or the sculpture in its cage. And this bit here, I've begun to look at like the claw or the paw of some animal just reaching in, and there's a certain tension and aggressiveness about that that I like.
This uneasy balance between the man-made and the naturally formed is an inherent principle in all of Goldsworthy's work, says curator Molly Donovan.
His work really, in the end, is about this play of opposites and this tension and these binaries, indoor, outdoor, nature, culture.
The desire to break the barrier between audience and art poses very real structural concerns in the case of Goldsworthy's roof. The National Gallery's building engineers and conservators believe the weight of the sculpture's stacked slate against the window could cause the glass to shatter. So a line of silicon must separate the two. That's not something Andy Goldsworthy was planning on. He's frustrated and completely exhausted.
You know, we are slaves and servants to the sculpture now. You know, after a while, we'll feel the joy of it, I hope, and that will carry us along, I hope.
A few weeks later, roof is almost completed. The day before his deadline, Andy Goldsworthy heads upstairs to the mezzanine to gaze down upon his work. With his nose pressed against the glass, he admits he's pleased. He is reminded of one of his sculptures that was captured in the documentary, Rivers and Tides.
There was a piece of work I made which was a stick dome that got carried away by the water, and it was in an eddy, a little bit like this. You know, you feel as if this movement is somehow fed into here, and it's a flow of traffic and people walking by. That parallel movement has become important to this view here.
Outside on Pennsylvania Avenue, a swirling mass of cars and pedestrians passes, becoming part of the work, yet unaware it's even there. Goldsworthy wants people to stop on the banks of this rushing river, just for a moment, and consider the quiet stillness of his sculpture.
It is a contemplative piece. It is a very thoughtful piece, I hope, and is functioning as my original intention, as a connection between building and origin. And that's for me a very profound connection, where things come from, how we relate to the source, where we come from, where's our place.
Andy Goldsworthy has returned to his place in rural Scotland. Roof will be on display at Washington's National Gallery of Art until time or the changing tides of taste have their way. Susan Stone, NPR News, Washington.
You can find photos of the Roof Project at npr.org.